As we conclude our reading in the book of Luke this week, looking at Luke chapter 24, we see that it begins with the empty tomb. The words, "He is not here, but has risen." Of our foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Later in that same book, as he's writing to the Christians there in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read there in verse 1, this foundation, this core of our foundation is, as Paul says, "I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." This is the foundation. And so as you read Luke 24 and think upon the things that happened there and Jesus' resurrection and what this means for all of mankind, think about how that applies to us in our own lives and the foundation that we are to have. Now as you go back in the book of Luke and look back to Luke chapter 7, here as Luke is recording portions of what we might would call at times the Sermon on the Mount, in Luke chapter 6, in verse 37, Luke records Jesus saying, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable, say, "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, and nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Now let's just pause there for a moment. And you can look and you can see that Jesus is trying to get them to focus more on themselves than everybody else, to really kind of check the heart and see where they are with God. And with that in mind, we go on in verse 46, and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." I really like Luke's recording of what Jesus is presenting here at the end. This idea of everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building his house who dug deep and laid a foundation. A foundation is the most important part of any building. You can build the most beautiful, most ornate, most expensive house, and if it's got a poor foundation, it's going to come to ruin rather quickly. You can build the largest building with an impressive structure that has the appearance of great strength and beauty. But if the foundation isn't right, if it's not good, it's going to fall apart. Anna and I had been married for about a year or two. We were living in Bossier City, Louisiana. I just started working with the congregation there. And Bossier City, Shreveport, like other places in Louisiana, have a couple of casinos. And one of them was, what was it, Harrah's, I think, was the one that was there, or the, I forget, the Horseshoe, whatever it is. Anyway, they built this really tall, on the Bossier City side, this really tall hotel to go with their casino, which had to be in the Red River. And so they had this up there, and they built this really tall building right along the shore of the Red River. And guess what? Within the few years that we lived there, you could see the building was starting to lean. Now, Louisiana's high water table, lots of water, lots of sand. It's not known for bedrock. And they hadn't dug down deep enough to provide a secure foundation. And they spent millions upon millions trying to rectify their situation. And to me, that's been a constant reminder, just seeing this beautiful golden building that had been built that towered above everything else in Bossier City, that was juxtaposed across the river to the tall buildings in Shreveport, and seeing this visible lean to it, to the naked eye, just reminded me over and over of the importance of a foundation. And Jesus says, "The one who hears my words and does them, he is like one who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock." I don't think we can overemphasize that dug deep part. And so we're going to look at our foundation today. You might notice on your outline, you've got some on the front and some on the back. Don't think we're going to be here for a long time, because that's this morning and this evening's lesson. So be sure and hang on to that, because we'll be using the back of that for the lesson this evening. And so let's begin as we consider the foundation of a disciple. Let's begin by considering what are some insecure foundations. When a young couple meets and falls in love, they think they can live off of that love and that nothing can overcome the wonderful love that they have for one another. But how many of us who have been married for, we're approaching 27. I'm assuming most of you others are probably that are married are well past that. Has love really been a secure foundation, or is it kind of something that helps in that secure foundation? If you don't have something that you're really rooted in, love, the way that the world looks at love, is not going to really get you there. I'm afraid that for far too many, we build our foundation, we place it on things that are not secure. Matthew chapter 15, there in verse 9, Jesus references the traditions that the Jews had developed in those 400 years that we talked about, of that silence. The rabbis were really busy kind of taking the things that were in the law and developing these traditions and such, to where they became scripture rather than what the scriptures actually taught. And Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 9, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts or commandments of men." And so Jesus is saying they're coming to him, they're hearing his words, and they think they're building on this, but they're building on their traditions, the commandments that man has set up. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And you find that with those who claim to be Christians. And it amazes me to see those who claim to be Christians and the things that they say, the things that they do, the people that they look up to and treat with great honor and respect and such. And you can't help but wonder, is their foundation on Christ or on some human organization or some person? And so we need to be wary of false foundations. And there are many that are, John writes about the Antichrist are going to be coming and they're already there. Paul talked about, and Peter as well, talked about false prophets would go out amongst them. In Galatians chapter 1, there in verse 6, the Apostle Paul talks about how he was amazed that they were so quickly leaving the gospel that they had received, that someone was deceiving them and leading them away, and they were building their foundation on these teachings of these other individuals. And these are not foundations that are going to last. When you go back and look there in Luke chapter 6, we can see that there's different types of foundations that we can build on. And some you just can't depend on. I mentioned, I believe it was Wednesday night or last Sunday, I can't remember. This idea of building there on the coastline and building these million-dollar mansions there in an area where you know that hurricanes are going to come. And why in the world you would do that? And why is it amazing when a hurricane comes and hits the Gulf Coast region or Florida or something, some of these islands that are there in the midst of these things, when the island is just wiped clean? Because they don't have anything to really make a foundation that's strong enough to withstand the nature that's going to be coming at them. And that's the thing. When you look at this, Jesus talks about, you've got the man who hears and does. He's the one who digs down deep and builds on a firm foundation, on bedrock. And then the other guy who just kind of comes along and builds on the sand. I'm afraid that for far too many, those who believe themselves to be Christians have these shaky foundations. Their foundation is not only in the commands or precepts of men, but their faith is in the faith of someone else. And who knows what their faith is founded upon. That, you know, while we're not facing storms, we just kind of build loosely and everything, and we don't really focus to build strongly so that we can face these storms. This is why it's been my constant prayer. When we're in times of peace, we need to be strengthening ourselves. It's not a time to slack up and go, all right, I can kind of coast my way as a Christian. No, that's the time where you're getting stronger and working harder and growing your faith and understanding of the Word of God, because hard times are going to come one way or another. And you need to have a foundation that will stand. In Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. My 26 or so years of preaching, I've watched it. It seems that some, they just, whatever new thing comes along, they just jump on it with both feet and they just go after it, and they get caught up in this particular discussion, and as soon as something new comes along, they jump on that. It reminds me of friends in school that every time there was a new fad, they didn't know who they were. They just knew whatever new was coming out, they were going to have that, they were going to do that, and they were whatever the world was doing. I'm afraid we don't really know ourselves as Christians, and we haven't really taken the time to build a proper foundation. And as I mentioned earlier, sadly, for far too many, their foundation is built on the foundation of someone else. They've got this shaky foundation because it's built on the foundation of their parents or their grandparents or their husbands or their wives or their children. We need to understand that as Christians, there's no such thing as a second generation Christian. We kind of have an issue because, you know, a lot of us perhaps grew up in the Lord's church, and so we learned the gospel at a young age and such. And one of the things I've always encouraged whenever I teach the younger classes is I'm like, look, here's what you got to do. It sounds harsh, but you got to do it. Forget everything your parents told you. Just set it to the side and study the Scripture for yourselves. You have to come to your own understanding. Now, you're going to probably find the majority of what your parents taught you is in fact true and good and according to the Word of God. But you're going to find some things that, while not necessarily wrong, they're just opinions. They're not commandments. They're not things that are required by Scripture. And we've got to make sure that we're building our own foundation. There's no two-story houses in the body of Christ. There's no apartment buildings in the body of Christ. We are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, or we're building on the wrong thing. And so we need to make sure that, unlike the Jews, they said, oh, we've got Abraham as our father. Well, Abraham, God could bring forth children with DNA components of a descendant of Abraham from stones. That means nothing, unless you're children of Abraham spiritually, as the Apostle Paul references. We need to make sure that we have not built our foundation on insecure foundations. Now, the thing that we need to understand and to keep in mind is to build this foundation, to prepare for the building of this foundation, it requires diligent study and application. Again, as I've mentioned before, the word diligent is defined as it's characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he tells Timothy to be diligent, to present himself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We mentioned in our Bible class this morning, you know, Timothy had the Holy Spirit, but he couldn't just sit back and go, all right, I've got the Holy Spirit, I don't need to study. Paul says, no, you need to study. Not only do you need to study, you need to study diligently. You need to put energetic effort into this. This is not something that we need to just kind of halfway do it. If we halfway put in the effort, we're going to have a halfway decent foundation. And what's going to happen to that halfway decent foundation when difficulties happen? We're going to be destroyed. Diligent effort. Again, going back to Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, he is like a man who is building a house who dug deep. I've dug a few holes in my lifetime. My dad's cure for boredom, if Jeff, and we only did this, I think, once. You're bored? Go dig a hole and fill it back up. Well, the first time he told us that, we were like, well, that sounds fun. And so we went and we dug a hole and we were like, this wasn't fun. And we filled it back up and we never told Dad we were bored ever again. But I've had to dig holes for a number of different things. And, you know, this idea of digging down and reaching this bedrock demonstrates effort. And that's the thing. You can read the Bible and you can have a surface understanding of the Bible. And that surface understanding will tell you about Jesus, will tell you about his death upon the cross, will show you that he's the Son of Man, and you can get that from this surface understanding, and you can learn enough to see the need to obey the gospel. But if that's the extent, then you're like we read in Hebrews chapter 5, where you ought to be able to teach others, but you have need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. You need to be reminded of why you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because you only gained a surface understanding. You didn't take the time to dig down deep. Now, let me tell you, and I've mentioned this before, you talk to older preachers and you're going to hear the deeper you dig, my brain has not been working properly this morning, but the deeper that you dig, the more you're going to find. It's a never-exhausting study that we can give. And the more we find, the more we understand, the greater insecurity our foundation is going to be. And it takes diligent effort. Just listening to the Word of God, that's a good thing. Don't misunderstand me. And if you're not, do it. It's a good start, but we've got to go further. We need to be diligent to study the Word of God, to present ourselves someone who can accurately handle the word of truth. Just like in the physical world, when you're preparing your own foundation, you're digging down and it takes a good amount of labor. Not as much now as it used to. I mean, you can rent a digger or things of that nature, and you can come in and you can kind of clear out and get down to where you want to be. But there's this idea of this great amount of work, carefully removing the dirt so that you can lay a secure foundation. And that's what we're to be doing in our lives spiritually. Removing the things of this world, getting, as we noted in Colossians chapter 3, removing the worldly mindset and attitudes and getting those things out. Paul says, put these things to death. We're removing them, excavating them from our lives so that we can lay a foundation on Jesus Christ built upon the fruit of the Spirit, this mindset that we're to have in serving the Lord. And we'll look at that, Lord willing, some more this evening. We are to lay our foundation upon Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 20, we read that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And so, this morning, let's just consider, how do we begin to lay the foundation necessary? Well, as I mentioned before, there's a need to remove all that's unnecessary, to get out all of the things that's filling our lives, and that's the root problem with most people in their spiritual lives. They want to have a good foundation, but they don't want to put into the effort, and they don't want to have to change the things that are in their life that will help them to have this secure foundation. This means digging out old attitudes. It means digging out the way that we speak, patterns of speech, our old way of thinking, getting those removed so we can let the Word of God guide us in these things. Sometimes, oftentimes, this digging down deep, this digging is necessary to remove old friends and influences. Things that maybe were influences for bad, but maybe they weren't influences for bad, they just weren't influences to good. And to get that proper foundation, we need to make sure we get that secure. And so maybe we need to remove some of these things. It's kind of like having a building right next to a tree, a large tree. And what do those roots do? They spread out under the ground. They go everywhere. I've always been amazed at people's love for bamboo and not realizing the destructive nature of bamboo. My brother-in-law wanted a screen in front of his apartment, and so he planted a little plot of bamboo out there, and now it is a jungle that's taking up the entire front of his house. And the thing is, bamboo will go 6 foot or more underground and put up another shoot. And we've had friends that have bamboo close to their house. It would come up through the foundation of their home. And that's the thing. You've got to make sure that you're clearing all these things out and removing the things that are going to bring destruction to your foundation. That's part of that digging down deep. And just like in the physical, you got to think about what are the proper tools for digging a foundation. I like, one of the things about Facebook is I love the memories that it brings up. You know, you can go back and go, this happened 6 years, 7 years ago. And I think it was 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, this one just came up the past couple of days. The church there in Petal has about 4 acres around it, and it used to have pine trees and other things. And apparently there was a big storm came through, Katrina, I think it was, and destroyed all that. And so they had these holes in their backyard and in the front yard, about that big around, just big enough for a little kid's foot to go down into, and they were about 2 to 3 feet deep with remnants of a tree at the bottom. I'm like, look, guys, we got to do something about this. And so one of the members was able to get some dirt, dumped it in the back, and so I took my kids out there. Austin is 8-ish, never really used a shovel before, and I've got a video if you want to see it. It's pretty funny. He's got that shovel, and he's just running, charging like a knight towards the dirt, and he's getting up there, and he barely gets in, and he just kind of digs and pulls it on there. That's one way to use a shovel. My daughter, she figured it out pretty quickly. She was around 15, 16 at the time. And then, well, I've been using a shovel most of my life. Well, I'm no expert. I know how to use a shovel, and I can move dirt pretty quickly. And that's kind of the difference there. You can see the new person who's never used a shovel, the person who's, hey, I've seen somebody use it, and then the one who's been using a shovel. And that's the thing, you know, when you're digging a foundation, what kind of tools are you going to use? You're going to use a spoon? Can you imagine digging a foundation with a spoon, a teaspoon? The amount of time that's going to take, and yet that's what it seems that a lot of people use in their spiritual life, is they're just kind of spooning their way through the Scriptures, digging away the things that shouldn't be. You're going to use a toy shovel? You're going to use the right tool for the job. Now, for most of us today, what are we going to do? We're building a house. We need a foundation dug. We call 1-800-I-NEED-A-FOUNDATION, and they come out and they dig the foundation for you. And you can go out and you can check and make sure. But guess what? That doesn't work spiritually. And too many people think, well, okay, that's what the Bible class is all about. That's what the preaching is all about. They're digging my... No. We're telling you how you're to be laying your foundation. We're giving you some stones that you can use in laying that foundation, the information that you need. We're telling you some of the things that you need to excavate. But each and every one of us individually has to dig deep into our own lives. I can't dig it for you, nor can anybody else. When you have the proper tool, it's good. But it's not very effective if you don't know how to use it, right? Again, case in point, young Austin, big shovel, running like, a knight tilting towards others and getting a few grains of sand and dirt in there and thinking, all right, I've done it. Now he's much better. Let me just say that out front. He understands using a shovel and he's got more strength to go behind it. But, you know, I've always found it humorous. My dad, he taught us a lot of things, you know, in physical labor and such. And, you know, we're as he always would say, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. We're not an expert at any of it, but we can do a lot of different things. And it's always kind of interesting to watch people who've never used a shovel, never picked it up, and they go and they begin to kind of do the digging. And I've even seen people who've kind of hold the shovel upside down. They don't know which way is up. And that's the way, unfortunately, it is for many when it comes to their spiritual digging of a foundation, is they might hear, okay, well, I need this tool and that tool. This is helpful in digging a foundation. This is helpful in studying the Word of God, but they don't know how to use it. They even own a Bible, but they don't know how to study it. And that's where, you know, this, how can I unless someone teaches me, as the eunuch said to Philip, you know, there's a need to begin with that teaching and instructing. And I did that with Austin, with Brooklyn. You know, here's what you do. You stick the shovel in this way and you give it some force and put your foot on there to get a little bit more force, to get a little bit more on there. Get it balanced in how you're holding it and such and teach them. But then you can only instruct so far. And there needs to be that practice that goes into it. Owning a Bible is a beginning. Reading the Bible is a beginning, but we've all got to increase. We've all got to grow in our study, that diligence. I think I've mentioned it before. I was forced to have to convert to this Logos program that a lot of preachers just love. I don't like it because it doesn't do things the way that I like to do it, and I don't like being forced to do things in a way that I find ineffective. But there's a lot, if you've got the money, and we're talking thousands of dollars, that preachers can invest in this program and all the information there, and it'll just lay everything out in front of you. Now, this is where Bruce and I are a lot alike. I'm old school. I've got a lot of books. In fact, I just bought some more this past month, and I like to lay this book out over here and this book over here. I saw this thing that librarians would use. It had the big turn, and you can lay out six different books. It's like browsers on your internet. And you can just kind of go through. I'd love to have enough space for something like that because I like to lay the books out and look at them and get the information that way. But it doesn't do any good for me to have all those books in my library if I don't ever use them, if I don't read them, if I don't know how to understand them, if I don't know how to make use of them. It doesn't do any good to have a Strong's Concordance if you don't know how to use it. And so there's a need to learn these things, to get the right tools that will help us. And let me tell you, there's no tool greater than the Bible, plain and simple. There are things that can aid you, but the information is all right there. And the more you read it, the more you're going to understand it. And once we've learned how to use the right tools, then we've got to put in the effort. And again, we've got to make sure that we dig down to bedrock. It is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. Do you not think that Jesus here is referencing that rock, that statement of faith that Peter made, that he says, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it? That confession that Peter made that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's where we've got to dig down and remove everything, to get down to the brass tacks, you might say. And only then are we ready to begin laying the foundation. Too many times we get to something, and my wife will acknowledge this, I'm really sentimental. You know, there are clothes that our daughter wore just a few times, but I remember her wearing it, and it's just, I can't get rid of it. I can't. You know, that's my little girl. Pictures that her and Austin drew that I did reach a point where I could scan it in and then I could get rid of the actual artwork and such. But, you know, I'm very sentimental. I don't like to remove things that hold that sentimentality. I'm not a hoarder. She says I am. I'm not. But I'm close. But we're sentimental about things in our lives, things that will hinder a proper foundation. We need to make sure that we're doing all we can to dig down deep. Sometimes, as you begin building, you might find out things aren't exactly level. The foundation you thought you had was secure. There's a need to tear everything down and start all over again. And I want you to think about that as you go through this afternoon and you're considering your own foundation. Don't listen to this lesson and how it applies to anybody else. This lesson is for us to each look at individual because it's our foundation we need to be first and foremost concerned with. Going back to Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, don't worry about the log, the speck in someone else's eye. You worry about the log in your own. Don't worry about judging others. You look into your own heart and make sure that you're bringing forth good fruit from a good tree. And so let's all investigate our own foundation. And Lord willing, we're going to look some more into this building on the right foundation this evening. And I hope that you'll come back and join with us. The foundation sets the tone and the security of our spiritual building. Just like with a house, one needs to regularly check that foundation. Again, going back to Bossier City, the church building there was built just really close to a regularly used train track. And there was a crack in the wall from that train going by, and you could feel it shaking and everything, and they were constantly concerned with cracks in the foundation. When we lived in West Virginia, the house was built on an old strip mine right next to the church building, and you could see the coal coming up through the concrete, and there was a constant checking to make sure that it wasn't causing any damage to the concrete because that would bring about the destruction of the home. And we need to be looking to our own lives. And sometimes difficulties are going to happen. And sometimes we might go through an emotional earthquake that can bring damage to our foundation. And the need for us to go and to check and to repair is of great importance. Because nothing, understand this, nothing matters more in your spiritual building with God. Nothing. We put a lot of time and energy into the things of this world, and as we've said before, 100 years from now, who cares? But how we're building spiritually, the foundation we're building upon, what we're building up with, that matters eternally. And so think about that as you go throughout the day and strive to begin, if you haven't already, to build on a foundation that will last, a foundation that is secure, a foundation that is dug deep and laid on bedrock. Perhaps you're here this morning and you haven't laid a foundation. Why not begin that foundation on the bedrock of Jesus Christ, confessing your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins that have separated you from God, and being buried in baptism with Christ, arising from that watery grave just as He arose from the dead to never face death again, we arise to walk in newness of life, beginning to lay the foundation on Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but your foundation's in the wrong spot. You haven't dug down deep. There's a need for you to just excavate, and maybe you need to start all over. Maybe you need to turn back to the Lord. Whatever your situation might be, if you just desire the prayers of your brethren, why not make your life right while you have the chance as we stand and as we sing?